everybody. Happy Wednesday. It is Snipes and Stripes again, right here on nofilter.net. And I'm sorry for everybody that we missed last week. It was one of those weeks. PLZ, I couldn't get away. I was running through Mexico. I was running through Vegas. I didn't have time to put 30 minutes together. So thanks for understanding and dealing with me for last week. Hopefully everybody missed us, because Timmy, you know, you and I missed everybody too. So I love jumping on nofilter.net and Snipes and Stripes and talking shop with my buddy, with you. It's a lot of fun. And we got a great show tonight. One of my favorite players ever in the National Hockey League, fellow American, Doug Waite's going to join us here in a couple minutes. But I want to first thank Whiskey in the Wild, the best chocolate and chocolate orange whiskey. And of course, it is mine. So of course, it's going to be a sponsor here. Go to whiskeyinthewild.com. Get your best chocolate and chocolate whiskey of all time. I swear you'll not regret it.
Also, this Thanksgiving holiday, why not head to the world's most trusted betting platform, your number one source for online betting, BetOnline. From the earliest odds to in-game live betting, BetOnline provides you with constant real-time odds and an action and the ability to watch the games as they happen. With the largest selection of odds on everything from football, NBA, and college basketball, NHL, to UFC and boxing, head to the website today to see why BetOnline is America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline, the game starts here. Man, that's a long ad.
It is long, and protect the neck guards. We are helping protect hockey players all over the world. Obviously, we do as much as we can to protect our loved ones and protect kids playing sports, but sometimes we can't protect everybody. And I know you wanted to have a little shout out tonight before we started the show, buddy.
Yeah, this past Saturday, in St. Louis, there was a young man by the name of Colin Brown. And Sunday, while I'm taping my son's stick in Chicago, one of the parents came up, because this happened 10:30 at night on Saturday, and said, "Did you hear what happened to the CBC, which is the Christians Brothers College? It's a private school here in St. Louis. They have a great hockey program. Did you hear what happened?" I said, "No." So Colin Brown is a player for CBC. He wasn't playing that game. He went to the game with his father, Calvin, who is a former Illinois State Police officer. And they're driving down Highway 55 here in St. Louis. And there's no other way to say it, but these thugs are shooting at each other driving down the highway. And a stray bullet caught Colin in the neck. Now picture this: his dad's a former police officer, his son's been shot, sitting he drove an SUV, sitting on the right side of him. I don't know the details of who he called, but I'm sure he had the contacts. So he drove another 10 minutes to meet the police and the ambulance while his son is there possibly dying in front of him. And they rush him to the hospital, and he's been on life support, critical. He's been in critical condition since then. And then this morning, unfortunately, the bullet was lodged in his neck, and this morning he passed away. And it's you and I have talked about this. It's not, I'm all for Second Amendment or First Amendment, whichever one it is. I always forget. It's not the guns that are the problem. It's for example, in St. Louis, Tajira Jones, the mayor, the police will arrest these people. And as quick as they arrest them, they're back on the streets the next day. And it literally makes me sick to my stomach, because we've all, you drove your son Brett to hockey. Bronson and I and Tish and Brielle were going up to Centene tonight to watch two high school teams play at 8:30. Here's a dad taking his son to go watch a hockey game, and now his son has passed away. And Colin was a also a student of mine at my referee school a few years ago, and he's just a nice, he's a sweet young man, a handsome young man, 16 years old. And it makes me so sad, JR, because everyone's going to put out on Facebook thoughts and prayers, and that's nice. I appreciate people doing that. But when the fuck are things going to change? Thoughts and prayers to poor Calvin and his wife and Colin.
When are people going to start having a little respect for human life, you
Right?
know, which these people do not have? There's no accountability in this world. We have politicians that think that they're doing something good to help certain people, but what they're doing is just, they're just giving them more power and more reason to go out and do stupid things, which they tend to do.
Like
And I
you
feel
and I,
terrible. I feel terrible. Sorry for St. Louis's loss. You know, 16 years old again.
I
It
mean,
is it's ridiculous.
it's hit the community hard today, for the past 5 days. It's hit everybody hard because St. Louis, and Dougie Waite will be able to talk about this. St. Louis is such a tight hockey community. Like I guarantee you, we go to the rink tonight, that's all everyone's going to be talking about. I was at the rink this afternoon. Bronson was going skating. It's all everyone was talking about. Like people feel so helpless and sad, and I can't even, you and I both have a son and a daughter. I can't even fathom. You can try to understand, and you can try to understand what these people are going through, but we
It's
can't even
just so it's
fathom
so
what they're going through.
it's so senseless. It's so stupid. You know, it's like the Goudreau brothers not being here. It's
Right.
just there's no reason for it. And you know, unfortunately, there will be mean people, there are going to be ugly people, there are going to be criminals, and there's going to be mental illness. And what nobody really knows the answer, but one thing that we do know is that people have to start doing their job. The police can't do their job with the politicians telling them that they can't do it. So shame on the people at the top for thinking that they're doing something that is noble. But they're hurting people. So, but
Yeah.
then speaking of, let's go grab our guest of the night, which I know that those tears are going to turn to smiles
Yeah, they are.
with our fa one of our favorite guys, Dougie Waite.
Well, he's one of the funniest guys, too.
Not even a question. There he is, right there, Dougie Waite. You gotta get his glasses off so you
Look at
can. So,
Thanksgiving, baby.
hey, by the way, you can leave your glasses on. We're old now, okay? We
Talking about
don't.
glasses. It's the
Anytime
only
you
way.
want, I don't need glasses, Jared.
Waiter, it's the only way I can see the computer screen is glasses. Listen, before you came on, I said we were just talking, and I'm so glad you're on because you've probably seen on social media the last few days, and it's been tragic. This young Colin Brown was shot and killed here in St. Louis. And JR said to me, he goes, Peelsy, you just said tears, but we're bringing on Waiter, and those tears are gonna change to laughs. And I said to JR, you were the one of the funniest guys I know. But before we get into all that other stuff, not necessarily the Colin Brown, but you played in St. Louis, and it's amazing the love and support. Why do you think St. Louis is such a tremendous hockey community that way, Waiter?
Oh wow. I think it was it's almost like how it takes a city. I grew up in Detroit, right?
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
But first time we've been good in like 50 years, so I gotta, wear some.
Really good. Really good.
No, but I think it takes a long time to it's like rebuilding a team, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And I think when guys started to stay there, and you've been in that alumni room, Pielzy, I mean, it's just like it's been building for the past 30 years.
Right.
And guys have not only come out and supported charities and supported the current teams and all the pro sports in the area and all the shops and the restaurants, but they've put their time into coach. And I
Right.
think that was the big thing with St. Louis. And I think it was the fact that we would put our boots on the ice at night. And not just guys that are retired, guys that, we played. I was at the rink 4 days a week and I was on the ice. You know, you couldn't be a head coach because we traveled a lot, but you know, Walt's like, no, you got to do it. I'm like, I got a game tomorrow. He's like, no, you're going on the ice. And I'm like, all right, geez. But once you get on the ice, you love it, you know?
Yep.
But I think that's what that's what really did it. I think people bought in and realized, you know, you got 90% of the parents that still think they're smarter than you. no, but I think that was it. I think there's so many players that are still there and they're doing the right things. It's not just that we don't think we know everything, but they're treating the kids the right way. And
it is a culture.
Story about Colin. I was actually on listening to you guys. So I got to hear you, Tim, and it's sad. It's sad.
It's
needless. And you guys said it best. We don't have to make it into a political thing unless you want to, because I'll jump on.
Oh, yeah. Trust me.
I know you will.
You will too, buddy.
it's got to get better. And, man, I tell you what, it's been a good 2 weeks, though.
Yeah, it has been a real good 2 weeks.
But anyways,
we talked about that too. So I had a pretty good week. I had a Donald Trump win on Tuesday, and then I had my induction on Monday.
Yeah, I know. I was listening to, you know, you were so busy. Oh, you know, I was so busy with, you know, going into the Hall of Fame. Oh, jeez. Oh, it must have been terrible, Jared.
I know, right? It was an incredible week. I seriously don't know what felt better, the Donald Trump win or standing on the stage and getting my ring. I say this with obviously kidding aside, but really
both are very important.
It was both extremely important. It's like the speech saved my life, but I think the election saved America. And that's kind of, you know, it's pretty crazy. But hey, waiter, I'm so happy that you joined, man. It is no secret that you're one of my favorite people in the world. Not just hockey. It's in the
joined,
world.
You mean just like being here? I don't have to like join anything, do I?
No money. I know you're hurting on cash. You don't have to put any money towards
me. We're like a cult, Raider. Yeah. We're like a cult.
Yeah. No, you're good. No problem. We're not gonna make you.
Let me say one more thing though, because I'm sure Peelsy, before we get into laughter and stories, I love this guy as a ref. And he just
Mike Hassenfratz,
yeah. Man, we had a couple good verbal battles, but I remember talking to him. Well, I did with everybody.
Yeah.
And you had a couple good ones. But what a good dude. What happened with him? I tried to look it up, but they're always pretty private.
Mike Hassenfratz, we called him Hazzy, obviously. He was a mountain of a man. He was like 6'5". He was a big boy, and he came through the Western Hockey League, just a good old boy, reffed over 700 games and had to retire. They actually found something wrong with his heart, so they fixed it and put a stint in, and he had to retire and go on disability. But he'd been retired, geez, for, I'm going to say, 12 years at least. So he was living in Florida, golfing, enjoying life, and then just had a massive heart attack. I think it was on Monday or Tuesday on his sofa at home, had a massive heart attack at 58 years old, my age. I'm glad you, thank you for bringing that up. Cause as he didn't have a mean bone in his body. He was just a good guy and a good referee. So very sad, but, so tell us, waiter, you have played, you've coached, you've assistant GM, you've scouted. What are you doing now? Tell our listeners, what are you doing now besides cheering on the Dolphins or the Lions. And bugging Allison? Tell us what you're doing now.
Well, we're trying to pillage through all the money I made, do travel, houses. They're not here right now, so I dropped them off at the airport. I have a Thanksgiving watching the Lions by myself tomorrow.
Oh, what?
I sent my daughter and my wife to Portugal. My youngest is in Barcelona abroad this semester, so they're going to meet them, and they knew I'd be luggage. So I'm staying here, and I'm going to go see my son play some hockey this weekend in college, and then I'm gonna be a bachelor. But I digress. I'm working with the Sharks now.
Okay, yeah.
San Jose, Mike Greer is just a great guy, a great friend of mine. I played about 7 years with him in Edmonton. And I'm just kind of a jack of all trades. I'm just kind of his advisor. It works well. I can make my schedule, but I can do a lot for him on the East Coast. So I'm doing a little bit of all what you just said. I think when you're in a rebuild type atmosphere, you need to be great on all points.
Yeah.
And as I'm saying it, you talk about like maybe a Colorado over the last 3 years. You want to stay healthy, and you might make one deal at the deadline, right?
Right. You might
try to grow your talent, but usually you're trading your first rounder that's going to be a 28th pick anyways. So you're not, your percentages of getting guys coming out of the draft are slim, right? So we've had, 12 to anywhere from 10 to 14 picks the last two, so the draft is imperative. So I've been doing like the top 60 players in the draft. I'll try to watch them as much as I can. I'm watching the CHL game tonight and yesterday, and I'll be at a lot of those games. And then you have to have your finger on the pulse of every player, every team in the NHL, every AHL team. Those throw-in players can change your franchise.
Yeah.
And I think knowing the players in this league is important. So I get to see all these teams, Jersey and Philly and the Islanders and the Rangers. It's close to my house. And then I go out to San Jose every like 6 weeks. And Mike's got a great team around him. He's a wonderful boss.
Talk about a great hockey mind, right? You talk about a great hockey mind.
He works so hard, and he's such a good person. And
he loves the game so much. Like when you played, he was that model of consistency. He was just that professional guy, right? No question. You're around Michael, you have to be on your best behavior, right? Because that's how.
Which isn't easy, JR.
Not for us. No, it's like, okay, we're around Mike. That's okay. We got to talk right. We have to look right. We have to make sure we don't get out of hand.
He makes you better though. He makes you like,
he makes everybody better. And that's
when to go there for a week, I'm like, all right, I got to look half, I got to
tell me what it's like.
Mike, but he's awesome. He's a great guy. And his mind is, I think he's doing great things. I'm so excited for the future for the Sharks. And it's really.
Yeah. So tell us that. Take us into Mike Greer's office right now. Like, what kind of stress is he having? How is his vision of what he's trying to do, coming to fruition? Obviously, you're not expecting to have a great year this year, but obviously with Chiellini there, this kid is pretty sick. And tell us what's going on in San Jose. What's Michael, how's Michael dealing with the pressures of rebuilding this team?
Yeah, I think, first and foremost, you take over a team you played at San Jose, JR, right? So yep. We're talking about a team that in an 18 and a half year span had the most points in the NHL appeals. You believe that?
Unbelievable.
And never won, only made it to one final, lost to Pitt, but they made it, I think, to three other Western finals. Tremendous team. The people that came through that organization, Joe, we just retired Jumbo's number.
What a weekend that was.
What an awesome dude.
Did you go out for it?
I didn't. I was gone because I had I was watching the kids, but I saw Joe. I was out there the week before, and he's a class act. He's the greatest.
Listen, other than you two, of course. But other than you two, of course, but like Joe and I still keep in touch. We came up together in the OHL. Joe Thornton, Dougie, is my favorite guy. Oh. He was the best guy ever to share the ice with. He was like, he just was so easygoing, but so competitive. He's just such a tremendous person. And I loved it. I loved seeing him.
You know what I said? I said, I think Joe Thornton is the only athlete in history that every single player –
right.
On the team, if you ask them who their favorite teammate is Joe Thornton.
I know.
Yeah.
Everyone. Yeah. Every team he ever played for.
It's funny.
Who's your favorite player? It's Jumbo. Who's your favorite? Jumbo. All the way down the line. I think he's the only athlete ever that probably can have that distinction.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it's going like Mike's challenges are we took over, you think about the contracts we had and it's tough. You have older players. And I think what Doug Wilson built was unbelievable. I love Doug. I'm a huge fan of Doug. I think Doug dug his feet in, right? No pun intended, early. And when everybody was given the second contracts, like to the Getzloffs and the Perrys at 23 years old, JR, you'll understand what I'm saying, right?
Yep.
They're giving them those eight times eight, right? Those used to be at 29, 30 for us, right? Yep. We had to go and we had to inch along right. And you make a little more and you got to be in the league 7-8 years. And then Doug's like, I'm not doing that. So what he had is he had a great team and he ended up waiting to pay Thornton and waiting to pay Marlowe and waiting to pay Cooch and waiting. And then he had to, and they were all 31 years old. So we inherited, you know, 6-7 guys that make $9 million and then we're 34, 35 years old.
Yeah,
it's a tough gig when you're talking about it. Doesn't mean those players aren't viable, aren't good players. But, you know, you got to get rid of the Carlsons and the Burns and the Myers. And now Cooch is hurt. But then you had Joe retiring and Marlowe left. And, you know, we have pickles.
Tough losses.
Classic. Oh. You know, like, so it's a slow thing. But, you know, slowly what you do is you create cap space. And Mike's done a great job. And you're able to take a lot of other teams' problems on to gain assets, to help them, to help them get cap room, which they need. And we get more picks and more picks. And slowly you find somebody trading a good player. And you say, okay, is he going to be in 2 years, you know, helping Will Smith and helping Macklin Celebrini and helping Sam Dickinson on the back? Like, is this going to be a guy we can build with? Because we don't want to get right back in the soup, but you have to get a team good enough to start getting better, show your ownership, show the fans that, yes, we're going to be this way for a couple of years, but we're going to start going up. Right. And it's an amazing.
How good is that? How good is that, Macklin?
He's a real deal, JR.
Well, before you answer that, that was going to be my next question, is because it's funny, the chatter the last 3-4 days is a lot of people are saying, And I know you'd never say it because you're a pro, but a lot of people are saying Macklin Celebrini is going to be a better player than Connor Bedard. So anyway, that's the chatter on social media the last few days. That's how much people are talking about him. So yes, tell us about Macklin Celebrini.
Well, that's nice, but you know, Connor's just a tremendous player, and it's so much. JR came. I came in at 20, almost 21, 20 years old. In the playoffs. So I was turning 21 the next January. JR was in at 18. That's a different world. I didn't live that world. That's a tough world for those kids, but they're both going to be pretty fine. I can tell you that much. But no, the whole team, Macklin's just, he's a real deal. He's got the speed. He's got the IQ of, you hate to do the Sparky Anderson, Kirk Gibson's Mickey Mantle, but he's in the mold of like a Sidney because he's fast, he's skilled, he's probably shoots a little more than Sid with a chance to score, but he's not dynamic as Sid on the backhand and the things that Sid can do. But the way they think the game and they're above the puck and they're, you know, Macklin's ahead of his game, ahead of his time.
He seems like he has a little bite to him too, like a little that competitive level.
Oh yeah.
I see clips in practice. He's yelling and screaming. He's yelling at the coaches for blown whistles and getting mad. You got to love that in a young kid.
He's got a little Dougie JR in him. my first game at Madison Square Garden playing the Hawks, literally got flipping lambasted in the center ice by JR. I passed the puck like 5 seconds earlier, by the way. And I'm like, fuck, that's a nice pass. And he hits on me and he goes, I fucking love the way you play, kid. I love the way you play. I'm like, and 3 hours later, I was at the bar having a beer with him. I love the way you play, kid. I'm like, you don't have to run me over. You know, I face off. We talk.
Remember who was my coach? I had to run you over. Keenan was my coach.
Keenan, I know.
Who was your first coach in New York then, Dougie?
Roger Nielsen.
Oh, Roger, the nicest guy ever, right?
The best, the wonderful person.
Hey, awesome. You know, you talk about your Ranger days. One of the wildest stories is your trade out of New York. You got to tell us that story.
Yeah. So Roger didn't let Tony, great friend of JR's and mine. Tony was in my wedding as well. Tony Monti. We signed the same day. We signed in the playoffs, 91, made the team the next year. And Roger Nielsen said, hey, you guys aren't going to live in the city. Go get a place, but I don't want you in the city. The city's crazy. And So we lived like the first exit where we could get on the train and be out of the borough. So we were in Bronxville or whatever it was called, Tuckahoe. So it would be like a 12-minute train ride to get into Penn Station. So we used to go in and stay in a day room and have our meal at the Southgate Hotel right across from MSG.
Right across the street, yep.
4 o'clock, you get your wake-up call and you walk over to the rink. You know, you bring your suit just to miss the traffic and everything else. So the phone rings at 4. It's like January of 92, so it's my second year. No, it's like probably like middle of February, end of February, like trade deadline, but I wasn't thinking anything. And it was the coach. It was Roger had been gone by then, so it was Ron Smith. And he said, Dougie, you got to come up to my room. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, all right. Probably shoved me on the power play, seeing how good I'm doing lately. You know? Figuring it out, you know, finally. And he's like, hey, we traded you. And I'm like, what? What do you mean traded me? He goes, we traded you. We're going to be traded today. And Glenn Sather's on the phone. It's Edmonton. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, numb, you know. And I'm like, all right, I'll talk to Glenn. And I go, hold on. We're playing Edmonton tonight.
No.
He wants you to play. He wants. So I go, yeah, how you doing, Mr. Sather? And he's like, yeah, Dougie. You know, Glenn. It's like, yeah. I was trading for Esa-Tikkanen. I get to the rink, and they got all my shit in a shopping cart.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm walking down the cart, and if you've met Esa-Tikkanen before, which both of you have, he's just like, hey, Dougie. Hey. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy so happy? What the hell's going on here?
So why? Because he's going to New York.
Yeah, exactly. He's out of. So I'm like, okay. And I'm like in the other room. I don't know anyone. And that weekend, my girlfriend is now my wife. She's in town. She's out shopping. She's from Arizona. She doesn't know a hockey rink.
Oh, my God.
So she comes in with Brian Leach's then girlfriend. And she's by the glass. And I'm going on a warm up. And she's like, let's go. And I'm like, get out of here. She's on the glass. She's like, oh, Dougie. She can't believe, why are you on this team? And I'm like, oh, God. So that was it. We won an OT. I don't remember much of the game, but it turned out to be a great move for me. So
I've known you for a long time. I knew obviously when you got traded to Edmonton, but I didn't know you were playing them that night. That is unbelievable.
Yeah. Switched to 4-3, and I literally knew no one. So you get your stuff on and your new pants, and you like literally I was late for warm up and trying to meet everybody, and you know, but it's
now you're in the Hall of Fame in Edmonton. It's funny how life turns out, because you're going to Edmonton. You're like, holy God. I'm a blue collar guy. I grew up in Michigan and so on, but I'm really going to a blue collar city here in Edmonton.
I didn't know what anything
it's
about
friggin' cold. It's nasty in the wintertime. I'm going from New York City to Edmonton. And then you played there, I think, for 7 years, and you're in the Hall of Fame. Probably some of the best memories you ever had in hockey, right?
I mean, hey, we can all fool them, Peelsy, for a while. Uh-huh. Hey, listen, you got a referee school. Holy crap. I mean, we can all fool them. JR's in the Hall. You got a referee school,
dude. I am the king. I'm the king of the the sleight of hand. I'll fool them all.
No, it's good. It's good. No, it was – what a great place to play, Edmonton. I mean, I'm so happy it was at the stage of my life when I was 22 till I was 30, you know. We had kids, and then we ended up getting traded to St. Louis, and what a place St. Louis is.
You guys loved St. Louis, didn't you?
We just couldn't beat Detroit, you know. Detroit was such a juggernaut. We would lose every year, 3 years straight, I think, the second round, and go 6-7 games. But Stevie Y, Fedorov, like, they were just –
They were so good. Right?
They were just good.
Well, you grew up in Michigan. What was it like for you? You played for Little Caesars, I think, too, right? For a while, or right?
No, Jer, I was a Detroit City boy. So, you know, Eminem was out in the sticks when I was – I was 7 mile. He was 8 mile. I was closer to the city. No, but my dad coached me. I was in St. Clair Shores. I played 1 year at CompuWare, but I played against Little Caesars growing up my whole life. You know, like and then my dad, you know, he coached for so long and he started working more and he's like, oh, maybe go play for them. And I'm sure I've heard a million JR stories of the you were a phenom growing up, which I paid attention to. You and Mike. Mike was lived up the road from me. So it was always Roenick and Madonna.
That was it.
He's still
to me the best American hockey player.
Oh fuck, he's so good.
That's me. That's
all those stories that you heard. And at like 13 years old, my dad's like, you know, I can't coach anymore. Go play for the Caesars. It's all the players, and it's gonna be fine. I'm like, all right. So I went to the tryout, and I came out of the tryout, and I got my dad in the truck because he was doing work, and he said, "How'd you do?" I go, "Well, I did well. We scrimmaged, and it was 4-3." And he goes, "Oh, did you score any?" I go, "Yeah, I had 5 goals, 2 assists." He goes, "What do you mean?" I go, "Well, it was 4-0, and then they put me on the other team, and I scored." But we lost 4-3.
I think he did.
He goes, "Holy cow, that's unbelievable. That's great." And he goes, "What else?" And I go, "Well, then they told me they cut me."
They did not.
Yeah, they cut me. So I was like a good player in that league, but they didn't want – the league was having this big thing, and my dad kind of pissed some people off, which God love him for me. But thanks for the hearts. That was awesome.
So they cut you.
Yeah.
So who'd you go play for?
I went back, and he said, "All right, I'll take another job, and I'll coach you again."
So were you talked about a lot, like when you were younger, like JR?
Yeah, I mean.
People knew you were good.
Yeah, they knew I was good. But I was hidden where I played with my father, so it was right. Good. So, you know, like but certainly not to the point of Jeremy or Mike was like, Mike was always on Caesars, and he was always this right. Juggernaut, you know, guy. I played up, and Mike played up, so I would be a year. JR, you're 54, correct?
Yeah, I'm a year older than you. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm 53. So they both played up, so I played up, so I never played against them. So I never, and I was a much quieter player than.
Who are some of the guys that you were played with that made it? Was Bobak in your year? Or
Mike was Neil ahead Carnes? Of me. He was older. Buffet was older.
Carnes.
But
was Neil Carnes. Remember Neil Carnes was my
age. Neil was my age. Jimmy
Cummins. Denny Felsner. Yeah, Denny Felsner.
Felsner, Cummins. Oh, geez. Smolinski, Brian.
Yeah. That was a hockey hotbed, man. I'll tell you what. Michigan is that hockey hotbed. It's you know, growing up, who was your favorite player?
Stevie. Dean, yeah. I mean, you know, everybody, I think everybody was enamored with Wayne and Mario, which, as I was, it was just amazing watching these two guys. They're just a cut above. And then, you know, JR, I'm sure you know another guy that was my sponsor to get me in Jupiter Hills in Florida was Bobby Orr, which to a guy to be mentioned with Gordie Howe, Mario, and 90% of the conversations as one of the four best players ever lived that only played 8 seasons.
Amazing.
Just absolutely incredible to me.
Yep.
People don't understand that, you know, longevity certainly matters. And to be one of the top four players, you would never think that somebody with, half of the, no, you know, 40% of the career of the other guys would be mentioned in it. And that's what he did to the game. And what a person, what a great guy. So, yeah, I don't even know what the hell we were talking about, but it's awesome. It's great.
JR, I saw Dougie in town a few months ago. He came in for Matthew Tkachuk's Stanley Cup party. And
did I ever?
That must have sucked.
Well, I got there. Walt was on a different planet that night. But
well, he hasn't moved.
But you know what? Your time in St. Louis, buddy. You played with some amazing guys, right? And Chopper,
very
and
lucky.
Sally Drake and Walt and just so like. What was it about that team that you love so much? Because you guys were a close-knit team. Pav, you played with Pav, right? Dimitra.
Long time, yeah.
It was just a tremendous group of guys.
Yeah, you know what I remember is that I'm so upset that, like, we had a chance. And if you guys don't remember this year, but I couldn't tell you what – I know I signed there in 2001. So it's going to be 02, 03, or 04. I think it was 02, 03, where Colorado lost to Minnie
Yeah.
Anaheim beat Detroit. Like the big dogs finally went down. And we're up 3-1 against Vancouver. And we had 100 points. And we had lost Detroit the first 2 years. And I'm like, oh, my God, Anaheim beat Detroit. Oh, my God. Colorado just lost in overtime. Brunette scored. I'm like, the seas are opening, baby. We're up 3-1 in the series. Oh, we lose in seven. Like, are you kidding me? Why do I remember about St. Louis? Because we would have, like, legitimately, we had a great team. We would have had a great chance to go and do something special for the city. They've since done that. That's great. But you always want to be a part of it. But I love that group. The group was great. I love the banter between and I keep saying Jarrell know it, but he knows Walt. But the banter between Pronger and Walt. The nonstop banter between, oh my God, the D sucked, the forward sucked, the D sucked, the forward sucked. Oh, it's just,
I can picture it right now. I can picture Walt's tone. I can picture what he's saying. I can picture the words coming out of his mouth.
Because neither one of them would back down either, right? God.
And then you can picture Prongs. Prongs just going, I know he's pissed, but they were both great players. We had a great team. We couldn't get over the hump. And you know what sucked is like Al went down 1 year. He missed 70 games. Then Prongs went down the next year, missed seven. It was just – and listen, there's excuses for everyone. I just think we had a good team. We could have done something pretty special there. But
Were you surprised at all? I don't think you probably were, but when Army pulled the trigger and brought Monty in and signed him to a five-year deal?
No.
I think it's a brilliant move.
Interesting enough, I played golf with a guy today. Pierre won't mention it because I told him earlier I think he was helping on some contractual things for Monty. And we had this discussion, and once it started going south in Boston, I think they were negotiating deals, but we weren't breaking, but once it started going south, I'm like, the best thing can happen is happening. Don't worry.
Right.
Guys are good for the year. He's done a good thing. He's going to be – five teams are going to covet him right away. Yep. I said, he'll be out of a job. I said 7 to 14 days. And it was five. And he's a good coach. He's proven it. He's not just because he had the best record, got the coach of the year. He's done good things. Like he built a program in Denver.
Yeah, he did.
And I think when you build something that's really nothing changed. It wasn't a new building, it wasn't a new ownership, it was college. And it was the same program that's been there for 35, with two regimes. And he just took it to a new level. So he did what he had to do. He coached them well. The players that came out of his program, which is what we noticed on the managerial side, were pros, a.k.a. Quinnipiac. Certain teams bring kids out and they can play and they see the game. Doesn't mean they're going to be great, but they see the game. And certain leagues do better than others. Whether it's WHL over the OHL, whatever you want to say, we have our own theory. But I think we noticed that. And Monty's a good coach, and St. Louis is a good fit. And and Armstrong is not patient. So and to his credit, he's done well that way.
They're only 5 years out of winning their first cup, right? So obviously, you got the taste of it now. And St. Louis was an amazing place to go watch a Stanley Cup final for me. I was working for that other stupid network and
you let it go.
You screwed up so bad.
It's
unacceptable, Jared.
That's okay.
Who could ever say that?
It's no problem. I just speak the truth.
Yeah.
So
they're getting
now, especially now. So but they were a treat to be around. Those fans are they love.
What a sport.
They love their sports in St. Louis. Obviously, with the Cardinals, what they've been able to do, football, not so much. They've moved too many teams. But the hockey is just – it's second to none. But we do have one of our frequent listeners is from Edmonton, and he wants to know what any really good Edmonton story? Is there something that happened in Edmonton that something that you remember, a good Edmonton story?
Oh, gee. Well, that's an oxymoron. Good story and something I remember. God, I have a lot of good stories of Edmonton. I tell you what, that was a great place to grow up in the game of hockey as far as leaving New York. Thought I would, you know, where I was going. But, God, I have a lot of good stories. He's a fan of the Oilers.
Yes, he's a huge fan of the Oilers. Yep.
God, I have so many good stories. Well, I lost my truck. I was living with Kelly Buchberger, and consecutive nights, Friday, Saturday, I lost my truck both nights. And came home, told him that it was his truck. Came home and told him his truck got stolen on Saturday morning. I woke up hungover because we had like 3 days off. So we went out and I came out of the bar and I couldn't find the truck. And I'm like, oh my God, it's stolen. I came home and he goes, what do you mean it's stolen? And if you know Bucky, what do you mean? So we get in his car and it's like 40 feet from the entrance of the bar. So I get in. So I go to a different bar. That, and it's not like I'm that crazy, but I was 22 and we had like 4 days off. So I came out, I got home in a cab and I'm like, Bucky, I don't know where your truck is. He goes, what is wrong? So we drive up to the bar, literally. It is 55 feet on the curb, like right. So I don't know what happened those 2 days, but that's pretty cool. That's not a great hockey story.
No, we love those stories.
What's the old best story we have as far as beating Dallas when we were 50 points behind them and, you know, they had 140 points and whatever. There's a lot of great stories we had there. We had a great team that just worked. And we upset Colorado the next year. Like, you know, before the salary cap, JR, it was hard. Well, 8 seed was just a right. Walkover. Right. It really was, Peelsy.
Well, New York was spending $120 a year back then.
We had $32 million payroll.
Right.
When we were playing Dallas, it was 96 or something like that. Like, right. How are you supposed to compete? And we beat them. But I tell you what we would do. We'd take a strip out of you. We would count. We would have video every morning, Ronnie Lowe. And if every player on the team, me included, didn't have 10 hits where you're hitting to hurt, that's the playoffs back then. Like, you talk about, you know, you come prepared. Everybody asked me, oh, was that, you know, 96 World Cup or the Olympics in 02, JR? Was that the best hockey, best on best? Yeah. I tell you what, 96 and 02, those were two unbelievable to play the players we played and to look over and have JR here and Walt here and my line mates are Holly and John LeClaire and you're just like, wow. And you face off and it's Mario, Correa, and Sakic's playing wing because they have too many centers. Like, that's cool. And that it's an amazing 2 week thing. But there is nothing in any sport. I don't care what you want to throw at March Madness or the NFL playoffs. There is no stint of 2 months digging in for four rounds. There's nothing. There's no tournament in the world like the Stanley Cup playoffs. There is nothing. Seven games of hating JR. We could be best friends. And by game two, I literally would take his teeth out. And I know what he'd do to me. He wouldn't go to my teeth. He'd go under my undercarriage. Yeah. So, like, it's nothing like it. No. There's nothing like it.
No, there's not. Talk about winning it. Talk about winning it in Carolina. I mean, I know I'm jumping forward a little bit, but we got like probably 15 minutes left. You got to win a Stanley Cup, but you couldn't play because of an injury. Talk
game
about
seven,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
Game seven, right?
Yeah, that's big old prongs. Prongs and Rafi Torres sandwiched me. So I I got traded in late January from St. Louis. Mm-hmm. It looked like we were missing the playoffs. So Larry's a great guy. Larry Plow took me to lunch and said, you know, there's three teams interested. Would you waive your no trade? I'm like, of course I would. I would, you know, I help our team in St. Louis and I'd love the chance to win. You know, I'm 35 years old.
Right.
And something kept leading me to Ottawa was in first place. Ottawa was a team Carolina was a team, and I believe it was another Eastern team. Might have been Buffalo. I don't know.
That was in this, you sure that was in this century with Ottawa being in first place?
Well, I'm pretty old, Jer. It was 2006. It was the Spezza Alfredson.
That team.
And we were rolling.
Patty Laleem, maybe?
Yeah. And then I just said, I talked to Rod, and I talked to Rod Brindamore, and talked to Pete. And I talked to Jimmy Rutherford, and I said, you know what? I'd love to go there. And I was a little worried of the goaltending. Ironically, our 20-year-old goaltender was a backup that ended up winning the Conn Smythe, Cam Ward, which those are the stories, too.
Right.
Like our lines, we had it was Stahl, Eric Stahl, Jordan or Justin Williams, and Corey Stillman was a line. It's a good line.
Yeah.
Great line.
We had Matt Cullen, Mark Recchi. And who was with them? Oh, Eric Cole, who was a stud back then.
Then it
was me in the middle of Ray Whitney and Andrew Ladd. So it was pretty much everything you want in the lineup. It was great. And you know, it was great. The memory I have is Roddy Brindamore, like, cause we were a little dysfunctional in St. Louis at the end. We had a lot of guys coming in. Joel had gone, and then Kitch had gone. And we were kind of reeling a little bit.
Yeah.
And
What was it like not playing in Game 7, though? Tell me what's going through your head, man. I know you. You're like the warrior.
I went in the room. I shot it up, and I went out for warm-up. But my
what
shoulder
time, what here. Time did you shoot it up, Dougie? What time?
6 o'clock, 6:05.
And trying to numb it.
Yeah. But it was a grade 3 separate. Like it was, it's an 8-week injury.
Right.
And they just let me do it to take warm up. So I went out, I couldn't even like hold my stick and I was fucking drooling. Excuse me.
No, you're good.
I was a mess. And I'm like, all right, I'm not playing, but this was cool. So I went and I just walked around the room. You know, with the big scoreboard clock with the time, they'll have the game time in the room, and it's running down. So I'd hear the whistle. I heard when we scored, but I didn't watch 1 second. I just walked around the room in my skates, and I started, like, marking up my stick, and I put some water on my head. So I was acted like I played. I was all dressed, and with a minute left, Justin Williams scored in the empty net, and I was bawling by myself, and I went out. And hugged all the extras because they were in the room. And then I looked down and Glenn Wesley goes, I could hear him saying, where's Waiter? And he goes, get the fuck on the bench.
Yeah.
So I came on the bench. I go, that's a penalty. He goes, we'll kill it. There's a minute left. We'll get a 2-0 lead. So I was on the bench jumping around. And I went out like I played, you know. So I was able to lift the cup and heard the crunch because I thought I had it up, but I couldn't. But
Well, our social media guy Tim Smith, used to be Bailey, the mascot in LA that you would know Bailey. And he posted a picture the last couple of days of you lifting the cup. And one of the comments on social media was best lift cup ever. Like best ever. Like here's a guy, to your point though, Charles Barkley is openly says that the NHL playoffs are the best best playoffs in any sport. Here's a guy that has a grade 7 separation, whatever it is, and grade 3, whatever, in so much pain.
I had a grade 3 separation. You have a grade 7 education. Yeah, go ahead.
That's close.
Listen to you. Hey, I had to get on here and listen to you try to read that freaking ad. I'm like, oh my God, I was texting Tim. I go, this is gonna be a tough interview.
That's Canadian education at its finest right there. But we've all heard the best gas
in the world. And you should go there and buy their gas.
But we've all heard the stories of guys that are playing with broken this and broken that. And like you wouldn't see it in any other sport. It's unbelievable.
Like JR, I'll tell you this, and you've seen it too, but it's not something like people don't like to hear it, but it's the reality.
Yeah.
Before I got hurt, I had a hip and I had this thing going on in my chest. So I ripped my pec before, like 2 years before, and the, all the cartilage, like I couldn't move my arm. So there was literally 12 of us. And I know you asked me the time at 6:05 every game, we were in line like we were getting an ice cream, waiting to get our shots.
Unbelievable.
They're all, one guy's getting the hip. One guy, you know, Justin Williams, no one know. He had a freaking cast on his entire, he had a broken thumb and ripped ligaments. So his cast was this big. So he'd shoot it up, rip the cast off, put a little brace on, play the game, and then put the cast back on and wouldn't, it never practiced. I practiced 3 times the entire playoffs. He practiced 0. Like the kid couldn't move his thumb.
But unbelievable.
Like a needle here, a needle there. And it's just, there's no, and I know all the other athletes are tough athletes. It's not tough. It's just the grind of it and the mental strain of it. JR, you were in the finals. There's nothing like it. And then you lose. Tell me about losing. Like, it must just be, I never lost in the finals. I lost the silver medal with you. Like, we won a silver medal, but we lost the game. And that was heartbreaking. But that's a 9-day tournament in the Olympics where we're going.
In the Olympics, you get a silver medal, which is still a pretty unbelievable situation.
You're right.
In the Stanley Cup, you don't get shit if you come in second.
You get a short summer with a stick in your ass.
What was the score when you guys went lost to Canada? What was the score?
6-4.
6-4. Empty net?
6-3.
Was it?
Yeah, it was close.
It was 2-2.
5-2
after 2. 2-2 after 2. I think it was 5-2, JR.
It was
2-2 after 2, and then Mario or somebody threw the
puck. But it was close till the end. Mario lifted his stick. 3-2 with like 5 minutes left.
And then they scored twice.
Yeah. Well, was that the one where Mario lifted his stick and it went to Korea?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
For McGinley, or it was Sakic. But here's the thing. This was right after 9/11. So the lockdowns on this village was like nothing you ever seen. Crazy. It would take us 3 hours after a game to get in with the dogs coming on the bus. No family involved in this Olympics. We were in this village, and it was secure. Crazy.
Yeah.
So we were 6-0. Canada was 4-1-1. Belarus upset. You remember the slap shot from the red line that scored on Tommy Salo?
Yep.
Poor bastard. I love that guy. He was my goalie in Edmonton.
Yeah.
But Belarus beat Sweden. So we're like, oh, okay, so we got Belarus in the semis. They're going to reseed. Oh, the Olympics doesn't reseed. They're in their side. We're in our side. So we played Russia in our last game to get to the semis, which didn't matter. But it's U.S.-Russia. We just got bombed.
Right.
The freaking towers went down. Like this fan base in that rink, Jared, just like,
it was unreal.
I get chills talking about it.
It was unreal.
And we battled the shit out of them, and we beat them 4-3, but it was a bloodbath. The game meant nothing. They were seeded where they were. We were our first seed. So we ended up 6-0. 2 days later, we had to play Russia again.
No.
Yep. Well, another bloodbath. And we played the late game for TV. So Canada plays Belarus, and everybody in Canada is going to say this to me and everything. You know what? And it wasn't a high stick when Hulley did it in 96, so suck it.
Right.
Anyways, we beat them in Montreal. You can take your silver. I'll take my gold in the World Cup. Anyways, we had to play again. We battled them. We get back to the dorms. It's like 1:30 in the morning.
1:30.
The time then we're exhausted, and we have a day off, right? But you don't. You have media all day.
Right.
You can't get in and out of the thing, and the media doesn't come in. So you have to go out for it.
Yep.
So we play at noon or 1 o'clock. And it was just – listen.
It was a terrible schedule.
Lose to them. I can see how it happens. They're an unbelievable team. But we were the best team in that tournament, and we lost the big game. Give them credit.
What year was the World – was 96 the World Cup?
Yeah.
You guys had a good team then. Like, that team was stacked.
Jair was bitching about his contract.
I was bitching about my contract, man. You know?
You had to be careful because you didn't have it was insurance and all that stuff.
If I get hurt – and by the way, as that tournament turned out to be as brutal of a tournament that it turned out to be physically.
It was brutal.
if I get hurt in 96, I'm done. Like, that's my, like, I'm literally at my peak earning potential right there, right? So it sucked, but I never claimed to win the World Cup. But I say our boys were freaking believable.
Oh man, that was like, that was a bloodbath. We played Canada first, Peelsy. First game opened up Philly, and we won 5-3. I'm telling you what, if like 17 times I didn't have somebody running his heart like a water boy at me, and I did the same, like it was full on. The refs didn't know what to do. They're like, you guys play. If there's anybody that punches somebody back, you're getting a penalty. If you hack a guy back, so any retaliation, they pretty much said, do what you want, but if you retaliate, you're going to the box. So, in other words, the first guy in could do whatever the fuck, whatever the heck they want. And well, it was crazy, crazy.
You know, you alluded to it earlier, and JR and I talk about it, not to make us all sound old, but that late 90s and early 2000s, Waiter, like, listen, I love our game now. It's great, the speed, the skill, and so on. But that era, we didn't just have the speed and the skill. We had the physicality. We had guys that were just as skilled as guys now, but they had that element of physicality too. That hockey, to me, I love that era. That was the best.
You know what? I think, and it's still, when it comes to playoffs, these kids, you can say what you want. They're a little different, and there's a little more everybody, whatever. I don't even.
Softness.
It's evolution, and it's
sure.
Kids have evolved. The maturation of the world. They have different challenges with social media, things like that. Their mental health is. It's a lot different than it was. You used to go outside and play by yourself and get away from everything, and come back when the lights are on, right? And you know, you don't talk to anybody for days at a time. Now it's. I didn't know if Jeremy scored last night or now we know everything about everybody. Right. And it's scary.
Yeah. I know.
I'm not judging them, but these kids still pick up their play in the playoffs and they play physical. I went to the game 7 last year. I went to 3 or 4 playoff games and sat low. Like, I'm telling you, they still bring it, but
they bring it.
The crap that used to go on, you know, you see the footage when JR hit somebody, then JR hit Hatcher, then Hatcher just went in and broke his jaw. Like, it's unreal. It's crap that you can't make up.
Yeah. No. And then Hatcher's sitting next to me. And then Hatcher's sitting next to me, you know, a couple of years later. And
just like, hey, what's up?
It's great.
You're like, not much. I can't. I'll meet you guys later because I can't go through the thing because I have a metal plate that's 9 inches long in my jaw. But I'll see you later, Hatch. See you later. Bye.
I love it. Hey, just before we go, I know we've held you for an hour, and we can't thank you enough for being on, buddy. Seriously, you just make my heart happy. I smile just when you speak. It doesn't even matter what you say. It's always been the same. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I was sitting up on stage a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't help but think of my boy Walt. I think we all agree. Walt's got to make his way up into that stage. You know, we're all friends, and we've been through a lot together. But Walt, a Hall of Famer in your mind?
Oh God, 4 years ago. 5 years ago?
Yeah. Well done. Well said.
Let's go through. Well, you don't have to build a case, but 500 and 1,000 and 3,000 PIMs and longevity, what he's done post game, what he's done internationally. So I think Alex McGillney is a, you know, you were always out there for me in my mind as no brainers. And Walt was there and Alex. And I think before you was, you know, like Pierre, I thought, what a career that guy's had, 1,350 points. It took him a while, right? No one really gave him. So I guess there's reasons for everything. You still hold on to hope, you know, that you could – I see some – like, I hate to be disappointed at some – every year there's always one where I'm like, really?
Yeah.
you hear these talk shows and they're like, oh my God, their first ballot. I'm like, what? And then they're there.
I know. Yeah.
I'm not.
Well, listen,
I'm here to bring up who they are, but there's like, what?
Yeah, I know.
Seriously?
Well, listen, I'm just gonna go out on a limb, and you never know. The one good thing about hockey is there's never a time where you're not eligible. And yeah. I just look at 1,200 games.
Good for you, buddy.
I look at 1,200 games. I see 1,033 points. I see a Stanley Cup. I see a World Cup win. I see an Olympic silver. You know, Dougie, you're a Hall of Famer in my mind. You're a Hall of Famer by your stats, by your what you did for the game, for what you did for American hockey. I mean, you have some sick, sick numbers.
So nice to hear. You know what the greatest thing about this is, Jer? You're a Hall of Famer for real. No. 2 weeks old. Come on, baby.
I'm happy. I know, but
listen, before we let you go, listen, let's talk about your Lions. They're 10-1. I was just looking. The spread tomorrow is 9. Listen,
Blainer's going to be really excited right now talking about the Lions. Blainer's watching from Michigan right now, so
oh, nice,
excited.
So you're 10-1. The spread's 9.5. How good is this team, Dougie? And how much do you love Dan Campbell?
It's enough to have. I got two MGMs. I was just in Springfield, Mass, watching Danny play, and I bet about the house on the 9.5. Dan Campbell's awesome. I think he's sincere.
Yeah.
I think you get a lot of people that come in and shake up the sporting world or the coaching world or, I think Jer probably played for a guy like Keenan, you know, like he was different and was so messed up. But he proved that he could motivate certain people and he won, you know, but there's other guys that come in, they're kind of flash in the pan. I think Dan's like sincere. I think he's genuine. I think his team feels it. And I think the city feels it. And I think he's a good coach, too. I think structurally, his game planning, the guys he put around him, I think are empowered, which being a head coach for 2 years is something I would do more of and be better at. I thought I was empowering people, but what I did is sit in every damn and try to have my hand in everything to show them how hard I want to work. Mm. And all I'm doing is just checking up on them in their mind. And I found out that after. I'm like, right. I want them to show that I'm just not out having a coffee, that I'm going home and having a cigar.
Right.
Like, I'm there, and I'm in, and I want to see your meeting. And they're like, just go home and let me do it, and trust me. Right. So I think
they're putting up some big numbers, man. They're putting up some big numbers.
Unreal.
In Detroit right now.
I tell you what, they're – I like our side we're in. Baltimore, that Jamar he's scary.
Yeah.
He's a beast. KC's KC, right? Until you beat them. But they just find ways to win close games. They're close every week. They don't look as good as they used to, but they win they're unbeaten.
And by the way, we've seen so many bad years this year. My buddy Blaine is saying they're covering every week, so I hope they cover for you this week.
How about Buffalo too? Like,
yeah, he also says that your niece Lindsay is good friends with his daughter, so he says hi. So
nice,
yeah. All you people from Michigan, man, you happen to just stick together. You guys are always friends together. It's like
3-1.
Dougie, before we let you go, I know you got the red going tonight. I'll be into it later. Allison's not there to give you the stink eye when you open up the second or third bottle, right?
Well, it's just cranberry juice.
Yeah.
It's going to watch this later.
It's perfect. You got hockey. You're down in the man cave. You got the red wine.
Listen, I'm going to show you guys. We got 15 games.
Oh, that is awesome.
Can't get away from it. You just can't get away from it.
You love it. It's our lives. It's great.
And by the way, you do have one of the best families ever. Allison is just such a special woman. So
thank you, buddy.
Treat her good. And we couldn't thank you enough for being on with us, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you and your families. That was a great hour. Flew by, and I appreciate it. Just tell Tim, hey, that send the check, you know, as soon as he could. It was great. I love it. Two great guys. You guys are doing a great job, and I appreciate you being on and being patient with my rambling.
There's no rambling, buddy. You ramble all you want. Next time we bring you on, we're not going to say a thing. We'll let you just go.
Super Bowl Sunday, boys.
I love it. Go. All right, buddy.
We love you, Dougie. He's the best, isn't he, JR?
No.
He's one of the funniest guys ever.
Yeah.
He's always on. It's unbelievable.
So I'll tell you what. When you get him, Keith Kachuk, and Bill Guerin together.
Oh, my God. Look out.
It's all over. It is all over. They are the greatest trio of anybody you've ever seen together.
Hey, shout out to Billy Guerin. He's got his team going, man.
They were my sleeper pick in the beginning of the year.
I know they were. I didn't see that happening.
Capper's off right up there, you know, talking about MVP already. You know, it's pretty cool.
They're doing amazing.
How about this really quick, just talking a little bit of hockey, this Marty Natchez. I watched this kid play last couple of years and I'm like, holy crap, can this kid play hockey? This kid is good. This kid can move. He's smart, but nobody knows about him. Nobody knows about him. All of a sudden now he's up at the top of the league in points and he's come out of nowhere.
He's a really good player and Carolina's a good team, but you know what? I see Freddie Anderson's over.
Freddie's
again.
Down now again.
Like, fuck. They just like, you know, shout out to, we'll give our Thanksgiving, compliments. Shout out to Chief in Toronto. Craig Berube's got Toronto in first place. You've got Sheldon Keefe in New Jersey. Got them in first place. You've got Scott Arneil in Winnipeg. He's got them in first place. And you got Bruce Cassidy in Vegas. He's got them in first place. So
amazing.
You know what? It's a fun time right now. I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. It's the best time of the year.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody, except you guys up in Canada. You guys already had your Thanksgiving. all right, so we got to watch Chicago at Detroit tomorrow. I'm sure Detroit's going to give them an absolute shit kicking because Chicago sucks this year.
They're not that good. Caleb Jones?
No. Can you imagine they pick Caleb, they didn't pick Daniels? Daniels is the real deal. Right. Giants at Dallas. I think both of them suck, but I'm gonna take the Giants. I can't go with Dallas. And Green Bay, man, that Jordan Love, man, he's pretty damn good. That's gonna be a good
real
game.
Deal. He's the real deal.
And Miami, what a change of events from last year to this year. It's like the whole team imploded. So,
but that'll be a good game. That'll be a good game to watch.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Green Bay on that one. So not that I'm gonna be betting with a bookie, but I'm just telling you, you know what?
It's going to be a great day. Spend it with family and friends.
Yep.
And watch some football and just hug your loved ones, buddy.
Yep.
Hug your loved ones, especially after this week and what we saw with the Goudreau family. Just hug your loved ones.
Yep. 100%.
Love your family. Love your close friends. And that's really all that matters.
So. That's exactly it. So happy Thanksgiving, buddy. Have a great one.
You too.
Tell Tisha and the family. Give them big hugs for us.
I will.
You know, thanks to Bet Online, thanks to Whiskey in the Wild and to Protect the Neck Guards. You guys are the best. And for our followers that continue to chime in every week, we love you. We appreciate your support. And we will see you next week. And that is Snipes and Stripes, nofilter.net, calling it a night. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. See you, buddy.
Bye.